There are different types. Good answer. Good answer. I've got here, some have six wings and fly. Some look like lightning in Matthew chapter 28. Some are disguised as humans and live among us. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. By doing so, some people have entertained strangers without knowing it. So they come in all kinds of types, you know. Here's the question. What do angels do? All right, I'm hearing great answers. I'm hearing great answers here. I have, first of all, they magnify God. And they are messengers of God. I've heard that from some people. They're messengers. They bring good news and sometimes bad news. So be careful there. In the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation refers to them as the avenging angels. And they minister to God's people. In Hebrews 1, verse 14, once again, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They angels minister to the saints. Most of the time, angels are not seen. And they minister invisibly behind the scenes. But on occasion, they break through into our world and appearing for a short time to accomplish a specific purpose. Well, the Christmas story is full of angels. Probably, you know, the most you're going to see angels. Although, you know, angels are throughout the Bible. I think 300 references of angels in the Bible. But in the Christmas story, we see them all over the place. We saw it with Zechariah. An angel appeared to Zechariah when he was serving the Lord in the temple. An angel appeared to Mary and told Mary, you're going to be with child. An angel appeared to Joseph and told him to calm down. And then later on appeared to Joseph again to say, take the child and go to Egypt. And later on, the angel appeared to Joseph and said, okay, it's safe to return now. You can go back to your home. Today, God sent some angels to rock the routine of some shepherds who were just going about their job, and all of a sudden angels show up here. We begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In Luke 2, verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Okay, so let's figure out what's going on here. To the shepherds, this must have been an amazing, astounding sight, right? But I'm not so interested in the shepherds today. I'm looking at it from the angels' perspective. To the angels, what do you think they were thinking? They're thinking, you know, this is the announcement of the birth of the king, and this is vastly understated. This is the most important event of all time in all of human history. This child who has come to bring peace to the earth. At last, it would be possible for God and sinners to be reconciled. And these angels, they must have been thinking, you know, this is great news, and it needs to be proclaimed to the nations of the world. And there should be lightning, and there should be volcanoes, and there should be a eclipse of the moon, and there should be meteor showers, and all the world needs to know what's going on here. But instead of that, God sends an angel to announce the birth of his son to a few stinky shepherds out in a field in the middle of no place, in the middle of the night. That's how it went down. So I want to think about a couple things here. One, the shepherds. What are shepherds? When you think of a shepherd, what do you think about? And maybe through years of studying the shepherds, you know, because I'm thinking, oh, this is just somebody who watched sheep. Well, there's more to it than that. These shepherds were considered at that time the lowest of the people, the lowest class of people. They were considered unclean. Often, you know, they couldn't make it to any of the festivals or the ceremonial cleansings or anything like that. They were taking care of sheep. They're nasty. That's unclean. And typically, it's a class of people who nobody trusted because they were always moving around. And you know, they probably thieves, you know. We don't trust these people. They're outcasts. We tend to think that God's message, that God sent his son for good people. But I think it's very clear here that God sent his son to all people, beginning with the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. He began with shepherds. So we talk about shepherds. And then the Bible talks about an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. That's verse 9. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Now imagine this, piercing the darkness in this field outside the city to some shepherds. And all of a sudden, God's glory explodes all around these shepherds. And when you think about God's glory, God's glory shone around them. What is that? What is God's glory? You can't even define what God's glory is. Is it God's beauty? Is it God's brilliance? Is it God's presence? Is it God's power? Whatever it was flashing all around these shepherds. And they were terrified. That's what the Bible says. In the Greek, they feared fear great is actually what it says. The word great, mega. Mega. They had mega fear. Mega fear. I just want to try to emphasize this as much as I can. And they couldn't bear it. And you think, why could these shepherds not bear it? Well, because they're shepherds. They're sinners. They're unworthy. They're the worst of the worst. What would you do if an angel, especially, you know, if you're living a life, you know, you're that's unworthy. You're living the life of a sinner, and all of a sudden an angel shows up. You think it's going to be pretty? They're not expecting good news here. They're not expecting good news. And then an angel said to them, and so here, you know, the angel's hallelujah here, it begins with a solo. And I want to take apart, you know, what did the soloist sing? There's one angel, one right at this point, just one angel. And so we go to the first verse here, stanza one. Do not be afraid, said the angel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So I look at what this angel said. And there's a few things to point out here. First of all, this is a message of courage. It's not a message of fear. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I'm not bringing you bad news. I'm bringing you good news. And so I go back, you know, why were the shepherds afraid? Well, they were startled. I mean, how often do you see an angel appear in the sky? You know, you don't see that very often. And the sky light up like that. It startled them. And when you think about an angel and what an angel probably looks like, it's a majestic creature, a powerful creature. And because the shepherds were guilty and because they were unworthy, they were afraid. But the good news here, Jesus died to free us from fear, the fear of death and guilt. We should not be afraid of God. He loves us. We should not fear the evil one because he's been defeated. And we don't fear the unknown because God is with us. And we don't fear death because Jesus Christ conquered it. Do not be afraid. Right there is a message right there. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. We should be a people of courage, not a people of fear. And it's a message of hope. I bring you a message of good news, of great joy for all people. This is the greatest announcement of all time. God himself, through the sacrifice of his son, his one and only son, has brought about the solution for the world's greatest problem, the problem of sin. So it's a message of hope. It's a message of deliverance. And can you imagine this here? Take yourself back with about 80 years now to World War II. You can go back to any war, you know, and you've been captured. Okay, put yourself there where you've been captured. You're a prisoner of war. And you are being treated poorly. And the conditions are bad. And I'm trying to paint a picture here. This is a horrible place to be. And you are hopeless. And then all of a sudden, you have been liberated. The enemy has been defeated, and the gates have been opened. You've been set free. Can you imagine that? This is what's going on here. They've been set free. The announcement to the shepherds, you are set free. Another picture, picture yourself on an island. You know, you're cast away on an island someplace, some deserted island, Gilligan's Island or whatever island, you know. And say you've been there for like 20 years or 25 years, and you've been forgotten about. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes on the island and they rescue you. That's what's going on here. The angels have announced to the shepherds, you have been rescued. You have been rescued from your world of hopelessness, your world of darkness. Christ has come. This is a message of hope. It's a message of deliverance. And I would like to challenge you. I'd like to ask you, can you think about some scriptures that you've read in the Bible that have liberated you? That have given you this kind of hope. I can't bring angels to you and rock your world like that, but I can bring the word of God to you, and it's brought me so much. I'm thinking of a couple of scriptures here. Romans 8, verse 1, one of my favorite passages. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a great passage. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 11, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Romans 8, 35, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. John 14, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. So many scriptures, scripture after scripture after scripture, of all that God has done, he's liberated us. He's liberated. This is a message of hope. And I see here it's a message of authenticity. I don't see that being something that might impress too many people here, but he says, today in the town of David. What's that? That's the fulfillment of prophecy. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, you, O Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come a ruler of Israel whose origins are from ancient times. What is that talking about? It's talking about Christ. And here it is. It's being fulfilled. Today in the town of David, this is a credible message. The scriptures said it. The prophets said it. And then something else that I think is very important before we move on here. It's a proclamation. The angel announces that this child that has been born to you, he is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. A Savior has been born to you. And he is the Christ. And he is the Lord. Now you break that down. Three different offices here. Three different titles for Jesus. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord. The Savior means he's the one who rescues us. He's the one who delivers us. He's the one who forgives us. He's the one who redeems us. He's the one who accepts us, offers us eternal life. What does he save us from? He saves us from the world. He saves us from the devil. He saves us from ourselves, from our guilt, from our sin, from the fear of death. He's overcome death. Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus Christ is our Savior. And Jesus is the Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. All that means he's the anointed one. He's the one who from the very beginning was assigned this role to come and die in our place. He's the one. He's our high priest. He's the eternal king. He's the glory of Israel. He is our hope. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. Lord means, what does Lord mean? Lord means master. It means when he says jump, we're going to jump. When he says go, we're going to go. When he says love, we're going to love. When he says forgive, we got to forgive. Doggone it. But he's Lord. Is he going to be Lord or not? So I got a question for you. When you think about Jesus Christ, do you recognize this child who grew up to be a man, who died on a cross, who changed the world? Do you recognize him as your Savior? Do you recognize him as your Christ? And do you recognize him as your Lord? Well, at this point in the story, it gets really crazy. And I got here in my notes. I wanted to do that differently, but it didn't happen that way. So just boom, the sky lights up with all these angels who could not be silent. How many angels does it take to deliver this message? It only takes one. But all these other angels, they have to show up. They have to, because maybe they didn't listen to that one. Maybe I can say it better. Hey, listen to me. Do you understand what's happening here? Do you understand this is good news of great joy? And the angels couldn't be silent. It calls them a great company of angels. What's a great company of angels? It's too many angels to count. It describes them as a heavenly host of angels. What's a heavenly host of angels? That is God's army of angels. And they all had to show up for this announcement. I'm sure they might have been needed at other places in the world, but they couldn't hold back. They couldn't restrain themselves. They all had to show up because this is the most important message ever. And the world needs to hear it. The world needs to know it. So we see this choir of, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. Now, this is the original flash mob. They all show up. And they start singing to God. And what are they singing? They sing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Okay, so that's where the title comes from. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. That's Latin. Glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. This is a message from heaven. A message of joy. A message to be shared. And so what's the message? Two parts that we have to emphasize here. First of all, the glory to God. Glory to God. That's a message right there. And peace to men. Peace, shalom. a state of wholeness and harmony that is intended to resonate in the relationship, in all relationships, an inward sense of well-being. Do you have that peace? And I look at this here, I'm thinking the angels, they sang glory to God, and they proclaimed peace to earth. The glory is sung and peace is proclaimed. And then when you look at Jesus' life, Jesus grew up, and what he lived his life in such a way that God would be glorified. And he brought peace. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace is a gift that God offers through the birth of his Son, this peace. And you and I, so you see it with the angels, you see it with Jesus, and you and I, his servants, we are called to glorify God and to experience God's peace. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so here's the question, how do we love God? How do we love God? Man, I would tell you a good answer here, a good answer how you love God is you love God by glorifying God, by magnifying God with our words, with our worship, and with our lives. So we glorify God. But then there's this thing here about peace. What is this peace? And okay, I struggled with this week. Reading all these different things, and everybody's saying something different. And I'm seeing there might be three possibilities here, three types of peace. Peace with God, the peace of God, and peace with others. You break that down here. A couple things I want to, peace with God. What is that? That's a vertical relationship. We have been separated from God because we're sinful people. But God poured out his wrath on his Son who died in our place. And what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He is our peace. So we have peace with God and peace of God. That's internal. Peace with God, that's vertical. Peace of God, that's internal, that's inside. Once the vertical has taken place, the internal can begin. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. The guilt doesn't gnaw away at us. The our sinfulness, our waywardness. It doesn't rob us of our life like a cancer anymore because now we are at peace with God. So we have peace with God, we have peace of God, and then we have peace with others. What's that? That's impossible, okay? That's horizontal. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then he goes on and says, and love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we glorify God? We glorify God by living at peace with God and with others. I feel like I need to emphasize this here. This thing called peace. This because it seems so unattainable, so unreachable. And then I'm thinking, what Jesus said. Jesus himself said, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." Well, what do you do with that? And what I'm going to do with it, I'm just going to leave that one alone right there. And I just wanted to mention that. And I'm struggling with this because this is what we need to hear. This is what we need to know. He has given us, although he says he's not come to bring peace but a sword, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are to be his people, and he's calling us, our Lord, our master, he's calling us to turn the other cheek. He calls us to go the extra mile. He tells us that we have to love our enemies. And he tells us to overcome evil with good. And this is hard. But this is what our Lord is calling us to. So this peace that he offers us here, we have a responsibility here. If we accept him as our Savior, as our Christ, as our Lord, we are agents of his peace. Now, beg us as Christians, as much as it depends on us, let us live at peace with all people. That's what it says in Romans 12, verse 18. Let us live at peace with all people. So I got to tell you a story here. This week, something happened. I saw somebody post something on Facebook, and that's the problem with peace right there, okay? If you're not on Facebook, praise God, I salute you. And for the rest of us, Lord have mercy. But somebody, from a long time ago, a friend from 30 years ago, from my Navy days, they posted something, and her words even began, said, I don't mean this to offend anybody, but this is how I feel. And so I read how she feels, and doggone it, I was offended. And then what do you do with that? And so I start writing back, you ugly. But I didn't hit send. I added a few more paragraphs. It still began with, you're ugly. And I struggled with this all day long. And finally, I got rid of the ugly part, and I narrowed it down to about three sentences. And then I ended, you know, I love you, and I hope you don't delete me or block me for this observation I'm making. And you know what she did? She wrote me back. And she said, I love you too, and I agree with you. Yes! And, you know, I got so excited because that never happens, you know? Usually, you know, somebody says something, and you say something too, and everybody just digs in. And they dig their heels in, and nobody's mind ever gets changed. And I've probably done it so wrong so many times. I got like 2,000 friends on Facebook, of which 1,950 of them have blocked me or deleted me because they didn't like what I was saying. But I felt like I made a difference in this case. And I felt like I made a difference because I was very mindful that I want to write what I write in such a way that God is glorified and I bring peace to the situation. And I would challenge you, for all those on Facebook, get off Facebook, okay? I would challenge you with that. But if you can't do that, if you can't hold your tongue, and if you are put in a situation, because everybody in our world is offended all the time anymore about everything, and we as Christians, if we just fight back and call them ugly, it's not going to help. And if we're going to be agents of reconciliation, if we're going to be agents of peace, then we need to be a people who say what we say, or write what we write, or do what we do in such a way that God is glorified and we bring peace. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And I got a question here. Do we do this? Are you doing that? I mean, this is the word of God. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Are you doing that? And maybe the best Christmas present you could give someone this year is to make peace with them. Maybe turn the other cheek. Maybe go the extra mile. Maybe love your enemy. Maybe overcome evil with good. And I want you to notice something here before we turn the page. This stood out to me in this message, that peace comes after glorifying God. We must put God in his glory first before peace will ever come. And I was thinking about it. We got so many different organizations out there. You got peace marches. You got the Peace Corps. You got Greenpeace. You got the Nobel Peace Prize. Until we put God first, we'll never have peace. And I would tell you, all human effort at peace without glorifying God is nothing but a temporary truce for us to reload and regroup. That's all it is. If we truly want peace, if we're truly seeking peace, we've got to make sure God is on his throne, and we must be glorifying God. Before I move on from this, here's one more thing I want to point out, but what the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. So to whom his favor rests. Who does God's favor rest on? And the answer I have, first of all, his favor rests on Christ. God said about his son, to him, I'm well pleased. And his favor rests on those who are in Christ. So I'll go back to what I asked earlier. Are you in Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Christ? Is he your Lord? Are you in Christ? If you want this peace that God offers, you've got to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the one he sent to die for your sins. So we get to the back page here, and in response here, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So what does the shepherds do? The shepherds do four things. First of all, the shepherds heard. They heard the message from the angels, so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And then they experienced what they heard. They saw him when they had seen him, is what the Bible says. And then they go out and they tell others. They begin to tell others. They spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So they heard. They experienced it, and they started telling others. And then before it was all over with, in what, Luke 2, verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying God and praising God. They heard, they experienced, they told others, and then they started glorifying God. The shepherds' fear was replaced with faith, and their faith went to their feet. And we begin with the angels praising God, and we end with the shepherds praising God. And I got a question for you. Where are you at in this process? Can you identify with these shepherds in any way? Maybe feeling like an outcast, maybe feeling like a sinner, maybe feeling unworthy. But do you realize that God has brought his message to you, to all people? This is a message for all people. It's for you. Can you identify with these shepherds? And if you can't identify with these shepherds, can you say, okay, I've heard the message. And have you heard? Do you understand the message? Do you understand this good news? And have you experienced it? Have you experienced an encounter with God through Christ Jesus? Have you experienced his presence? Have you experienced his love? Have you experienced his forgiveness? That's so important. It's what we strive for every Sunday, to bring you into the presence of God. Have you heard the message? Have you experienced the presence of God? And are you telling others? This message is still urgent today. This message is still intended for all people. And you and I are called to be his messengers, his servants, to magnify his name.